Mini episode 512 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.info.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
30 seconds.
In front of all these people, you're going to pull out a gun and you're going to shoot an unarmed man.
20 seconds.
So what are you going to do?
10.
Welcome to the FDH Lounge and the Justified episode recap.
It was justified.
With your original dignitaries.
Fire in the hole!
Rick Morris and Jason Jones.
You got ice cold water running through your veins.
Breaking down each Justified episode the moment they've concluded.
Did you take a peek inside the soul of Raylan Newton?
I'm just gonna let that old dog lie.
Real-time reactions. Next level analysis.
You seem to be harboring a bit of hostility there, brother.
So I've been told.
And now, your dignitaries.
Well, I believe we can take her from here.
Welcome, everybody, to mini episode 512 of the FDH Lounge. Rick Morris, Jason Jones, your FDH Lounge dignitaries in residence. Also, while we're at it, this year we have dual branding of our post-justified webcasts here, along with not just another TVsite.com. Jason has long been a reviewer over there and pretty much the underboss of the operation, if you will. And I am coming over as a columnist this year, so I am having the very immersive experience for Justified. I will be doing the Justified recaps every week, recaps/analysis. And again, we are dual branding these webcasts here now this year between the FDH Lounge and not just under TVsite.com. So, FDH Lounge senior editor, and as I said, pretty much the underboss over there and not just another TVsite.com, my man Jason Jones, point one. Jason, we were full of, let's say, faint praise at this time a year ago, coming off the Season 5 debut episode. What do you think tonight's 6.1? In my estimation, so much better.
Yeah, better. You know, for most of it, I was still... it's like putting your toe in the water, you know? You're trying to get back into it. I do really enjoy the throwback to old Boyd. You get back into the dialogue again. But for the most part, I just was kind of waiting until the end. And then everything paid off in the end. Because Boyd's little tactic of showing Dewey a picture up close, even Dewey should have seen coming a mile away.
I'll tell you what, this is where, and again, you texted me at the time, and I'll give the PG paraphrase, that you knew it, and I will tell you, it's just the opposite with me, and it's a combination, I don't know, in this situation, it's probably a mixture of both, of Boyd being a great actor, Walt Goggins, as we know, is a first ballot Hall of Fame actor. Somewhere in between, if it's the character bringing it out, the actor emoting it, I was buying it. And I was sitting there like, well, you know, Boyd himself is not often a sentimental guy, but I guess Dewey kind of brings it out in him. You know, they do go way back. I'm buying it all at that moment, the joviality, everything, and then blam. And again, I think that's part of the recalibration here because – really, the big bad of Season 6, the way that it was positioned going into the season, is going to be none other than Boyd Crowder. He's not going to be the lesser of two evils the way that it's been presented past seasons, whether it be Mags Bennett, whether it be Robert Quarles, somebody else. No, Boyd is going to full-on be the bad guy this year, and there seems to be a need for a little bit of recalibration because we've talked about this before. Boyd Crowder, sort of the 1A, not exactly babyface, you know, but close to it, I guess. You know, the guy that you root for when you're not rooting for Raylan. And if they're going to set up this showdown in the end, it's got to be a little bit clearer black and white, does it not? Not so much shades of gray?
Well, yeah. We've said many times before that at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, the series is wrapped, this is Raylan v. Boyd in some manner of speaking. Even when they were on as good of terms as could be expected, this was always going to be Raylan and Boyd. And I think tonight we saw at least the tone of establishing that idea that the guy's going to be Boyd. I mean, we're going to be introducing some new characters, but it almost has to be. It almost has to be, and we've made the analogy before to the old Western on television, and at some point towards the end, it really does feel like, in a metaphorical sense, we're going to have Boyd and Raylan take their 10 paces and turn around.
We're definitely building towards that, no question about it. What I found to be very, very interesting, I didn't get a sense of this from any of the, and again, we talked about the dynamic last year on the show, and I think it works out well here, you doing it your way, me doing it mine, because we bring both bring different perspectives to the table. I am somebody who likes to, I don't want spoilers per se, but I want to know as much as I can about the fabric of what's to come. You prefer to be in the dark about this. So I was the one that was out there trawling around trying to find out, okay, what do we got going on here beginning of season 6? I did not find anything that indicated to me, for example, that Mexico was still going to be a thing. And you've got Raylan there at the beginning of the episode. When he first walks into the bar, I wonder if they shot in the same place. It looked like that bar in Lexington that he was living over for season 4. Yeah, my guess is it's the same set. And then people were talking Spanish, and I'm thinking to myself, well, Winona in the cold open, earlier part of the cold open, was wondering where he's at. Okay, maybe he's in a part of Miami. Took me a couple minutes to realize he was down in Mexico there. Ends up abducting the sheriff or police chief or whatever, bringing him back over the border. Rachel and AUSA Vasquez didn't seem to ask any questions about how that happened, but I was shocked that remnants of last year. Now, I guess if you're going to catch Boyd, I guess this is going to be a necessity, but I just didn't stop to think about that. Mexico was still going to be a thing. I know I raised the question with you in the season preview that we did, question of whether the cartel was going to come back into it, but Mexico did in some form or fashion. We were seeing some threads from last year that maybe hadn't been fully tied up. I'm wondering if this is a little bit of a search for redemption on the case of the writers, if they've absorbed any kind of the feedback about season 5 and, hey, you know, we had a lot going on. We were ambitious, but we didn't necessarily tie up all the loose ends. There was some stuff that maybe didn't always make. Do you get that sense whatsoever? It might have been a little bit of season 5 redemption they were after by delving back into it and maybe giving a little bit more depth to it tonight.
Well, I'm not going to reject the premise. There might be something to that. I think right out of the gate, though, it kind of plays into some things that have happened before. You know, going back in, and pardon me if I butcher this, but the beginning of season 5 referencing Augustine and the tarmac, which is sort of a going back to the previous season and letting that sort of fester and build. This one I thought was more about positioning Dewey Crowe in a capacity where the Mexico thing would have played in and maybe they could have turned Dewey, but as we know now, even if that was the intention, it's not going to happen. So, like so many things with the show, I'm not quite sure 100% of what the Mexico thing actually means long term. I thought it was an interesting way to start back up again. I was intrigued by it. And the fact that it didn't have anything to do with the cartels or the cartel literally in that moment was also an intriguing factor to it. So I have no idea what they're doing with that, but that's part of the beauty of it.
Yeah, it really is. I would agree with that. And, again, you said, I remember on the show last year, because you were marginally less down on season 5 than I was. And when I said I was down on it, again, relatively speaking, I wasn't down on it like I hated it. It was just kind of like it didn't live up to my expectations after season 4, as hard as that would be with season 4 being an all-time great season probably for any show. But you said the book is not completely written on season five because you were viewing it as a setup for the final season, which I think you and I agreed in the macro sense of the show it was successful because it positioned us for this. But it's just very interesting, too, that if we give season five more of an incomplete rather than not exactly a failing grade, but being a little bit more disappointed in it, it'll be because season six maybe was able to fill in some of the blanks retroactively. And that may be something they planned. It may not be. That's just kind of something I came back to on that. Of course, the final scene of season five really set the tone for what was to come as far as the seriousness with which Raylan and the U.S. Marshals were going to be pursuing Boyd and, of course, flipping Ava, getting her out of jail. There were two scenes between them tonight. In both scenes, again, Raylan had his moments of strong-arming her and seeming a little unsympathetic towards her, as he did in the final season, final scene of season five last year. I mention this in the context of an interview that I read. Tim Oliphant and a lot of the other top guys from the show are out there, of course, giving interviews to different outlets. He said to Rolling Stone, he's not as big of a fan personally of the Raylan character as a lot of people are, that he looks at some of the kind of the lawlessness in him, his willingness to break the rules, going all the way back to the pilot in the cold open. Yeah, that guy that he shot, Tommy, he was a bad guy, he deserved to go down, but in America, we expect people to do it more by the book than the way that Raylan does. So it's interesting to me that Oliphant takes more of a dim view of him than the rest of us do when he's the guy playing the character. I can't help but wonder if it seems like that that make him think that as well, because I'd like to see Raylan personally a little more. Maybe it would make a worse story, but on a personal level, I'd like to see him be a little more sympathetic to the spot that Ava's in, and I wonder how many other people might be feeling that, including you.
Well, the irony is, in any show, the degree of, you know, how much a person enjoys it and how quickly they enjoy it is directly related to the sympathetic nature of certain characters. For instance, I had a conversation with a colleague recently about a show. I won't take the time to badmouth it, but long story short, there's not a single redeemable quality on a sympathetic character in the whole show, yet it just got renewed, which is strange. So there is something to being sympathetic to Raylan. And I think what happens is we as the viewer decide what we're going to be sympathetic with. Now, what you're referencing is sort of an overall morality or whatever. And I think, yeah, a lot of us can look past some of that and identify with the person Raylan is, because it, when you really count all the factors, Raylan does what Raylan believes is necessary to ensure the greater good. So he's able to make that rationale. Now, some of us may say, well, that's fine, but you're operating outside the law or what have you. So I understand where he's coming from, but I also think that Raylan's a very sympathetic character. It's just that we're not all jumping in 100%. We can all say, well, I wouldn't have done that, or, you know, he does what he has to do. So to answer the question, I find him to be a sympathetic character, but I also find him to be a sympathetic character with flaws. So, you know, six of one, half dozen another, but at the end, I think the majority of people still find Raylan to be sympathetic on some level. Now, the question becomes, by the end of this series, is Raylan going to cross a line that even violates his own rationale? And then that would change things. Dare I insert a Breaking Bad reference?
Yeah, no, that's a very good point, too. I think part of it is, as well, with Raylan, there is, as you say, the end justifies the means, the way that he often approaches things, as with the aforementioned abduction of the Mexican law official, just to get him over the border here and get him cooperating earlier on. Then there's the other things, like just kind of casually being a dick, as he so often is to Tim and to Rachel. I remember that there was that scene in season three where he's having Tim do his grunt work research for him in the office without so much as a thank you on this. And the way that he conducts himself with people, that's, I think, what's more to the point with Ava, is that he's not even making the effort to be like, hey, listen, I know I screwed you over. I cheated on you way back when. We've never really had, anything like that. Maybe I owe you a certain level of at least humility, even if I don't disapprove of your law breaking in the years since. So that's kind of what I was thinking more of that. But like you said, hero with flaws. I think you captured it perfectly. The way that he interacts with people is always very interesting as well, particularly any newcomers, particularly any shady newcomers, as was the case with a character that we discussed in the season 6 preview, Garrett Dillahunt, making basically a cameo tonight. Shows up in one scene as Walker, a guy with a briefcase full of cash, wanting to buy the Givens household on the spot. It was listed as being for sale. Again, Raylan just kind of getting a bad vibe from the guy and doing a read on him. He generally is a pretty good judge of character. I'll give him that. Even when he's making snap judgments, makes a snap judgment there and probably also makes an enemy, which is going to be an interesting tie-in for the season.
Yeah, that was brilliant on their behalf. Whether you're searching this stuff or checking previews or not, regardless of where you're coming from, that was very typical of this show, the way he just sort of shows up, says his piece, gracefully departs, and says, I'll be easy to find, and that's it. They didn't give us anything. And at first glance, you might think, well, that was annoying, but in actuality, it's very brilliant, because now, the next time we see him, it's going to be a step up. It's going to be something else. My big question, regardless of what the character is what is his interest in Arlo's house? I mean, it's Harlan. You could probably buy anybody's, house for sale. Why that one specifically? And it can't be as easy as it's convenient to write it that way. So there's something bigger there, and I really can't wait to see how that unfolds.
Somebody told him that it was Waldo Truth's duffel bag in the wall. Somebody might want to tell him he's about a year and a half too late or year or a couple months. Or I don't know what the timeline is, but that already went down in season 4, so maybe he's working off of information that is no longer present. Who knows? But, Garrett Dillahunt, as I mentioned in the season 6 preview that we did, portraying two different characters on the great show Deadwood. That was how much the showrunner loved him there as they brought him back. He, again, it's very, very interesting, didn't have a lot of direct interaction in either iteration with Timothy Oliphant's character. Of course, he will have a ton of interaction with him this year, but that Deadwood was such a large ensemble piece, while Oliphant's Sheriff Seth Bullock was very much at the center of it, he didn't really intersect that much with everybody on canvas. There were probably a handful of scenes between him and Dillahunt's two characters, but they were not among the more memorable interactions that Dillahunt's characters had. So we'll be seeing that. And again, there's been a sizable, as people have pointed out online, sizable crossover between Deadwood and Justified over the years. Off the top of my head, there's probably at least 6 to 8 actors who have been on both, including a big favorite of ours, Jim Beaver, and playing a similar type character, not identical, but a guy with some similarities on both programs here. The action-wise, I'd say high point of tonight clearly was the bank robbery they were building towards. And, again, a lot of action to give away in the season opener. This season opener had a lot more action probably than the last couple of them. I was struggling to think off the top of my head. There was a lot of action last year, but it wasn't action that we felt as much connection to, I think, because it was a mob boss in Detroit getting killed. It was one of the Crow brothers getting killed, but we'd never seen him before that episode. Tonight, it was very visceral with the action, with core characters who have been a part of this throughout the course of this. I had to laugh during the bank robbery when the lights were out in the vault there, and, of course, Boyd's teeth glowing in the dark, as he knew that they would be. But they pulled the thing off successfully. Dewey ends up being the decoy. Raylan and Tim get suckered into going after Dewey. And that's what made it all possible and basically helps to drag out the chase for Boyd throughout the season.
Yeah, and the fun part of the fallout from the bank robbery, because just to tell you how it went for me in my living room here, as I'm watching it and he's filling out paperwork to get into his own security box, I actually thought it was just routine. I didn't think anything was happening. And then the second that the attendant is taken away, you see a little smirk on his face. I'm like, oh, he's robbing the bank, which is great because, you know, we remember from whether it be the promo of that you've seen online for this episode or going back to last season, that Steinberg is saying that apparently you're not very good at heroin, but I've heard you're very good at bank robbing, so it shouldn't have been a surprise. But the best part was when he opens up the safety deposit boxes back at the bar, and you know his associates are like, what the hell? It's a notebook and some papers. And you can just tell that the wheels are turning for Boyd. This is a bigger picture. This was not an easy score for some cash. This was about laying the groundwork for what's to come. And interesting, not that this is a spoiler necessarily if you watch the show live, but at the end, they ran the promo for the next episode / remainder of the season. And you see not only that this bank robbery has invoked the anger of the big bad, not to be confused with the big bad in this series, but just a big bad guy, a guy you don't want to cross, who's played by Sam Elliott. And then this idea that Boyd tells Ava that we're going to make it, and we're going to make it in Harlem, which is a contradiction to what he thinks in this episode. So the bank robbery was great. It was seamless. It was exactly how you would imagine Boyd would have done a bank robbery, in and out, smooth, nobody gets hurt. But what the bank robbery means is so much more vital than the actual bank robbery itself.
Absolutely, and I have to confess that, again, there was the point in time when I was setting up to do the show here and had to call in, and the last couple minutes of the show, I was struggling to catch what was happening as I was basically multitasking. So you're telling me something I didn't catch on a live viewing of it in terms of what was in the vault or what they took away.
I don't remember which season it was. I always get them confused. But when he and Ava get all dressed up and they go to that swingers party with the rich establishment of Harlem, we thought that was the end of it, or that was at least the peak of that high society. And it appears, at least by the promo, that that Sam Elliott represents the real top of that totem pole, so to speak. So if what he stole, the deeds and the ledger, ties back to Sam Elliott, I imagine that this snowball is going to start rolling down the hill real fast.
Yeah, and we expected a very much an action-packed season, and we're getting it. Along the same lines, I struggled to see, because I was really multitasking as we were getting ready to start this thing up, again, with the run over on FX tonight, doing this in real time. That's the challenges that are faced there. I was struggling to see, was that Boyd watching Ava sleep at the end there? There was a scene of somebody watching somebody else sleep. Was it Boyd watching Ava sort of contemplatively there at the end?
Yeah, to be honest with you, it sounds like something I may have missed, but
okay.
With the powers of DVR, maybe I can get you an answer before we're done here.
Okay. All right. We'll revisit that potentially. That was kind of difficult for me to make out at the time. There was another scene towards the end there where, again, having to multitask in real time, I didn't pick up as much of what was going on there, but Art was having a conversation. He made a token appearance tonight when Raylan stopped over at his house. Looked like a friendly conversation and looked like something more along the lines of what they would have discussed before they had their rupture last year when Raylan more or less confessed about Nikki Augustine. So talk about that with the dynamic between Art and Raylan, at least for one night, looking like it was back like it used to be.
Well, and it was. And that's the weird thing is when we last left, Art was social with Raylan, but you could tell there was something missing there, a sense of hostility even. But this time what you're seeing is not that. It was almost the surrogate father figure sort of trying to get Raylan to see things from all angles and make the best decision possible. And the basic gist of that conversation was Raylan just wanted to know, why couldn't he just go and shoot Boyd in the head and be done with it? It's just hit this in the butt, save some paperwork. Nobody will miss him, and that'll be that. And then Art jumps in and gives him a little piece. Like, yeah, you could do that. But then you go back to Florida without your gun and your badge and probably head to prison and a number of different things. But it was a very cool, calm, and collected Arlo. Art, it still wasn't – we're not back to, like, say, season one or season two with their relationship. There's still some hesitation on Art's part. But this was the beginning of maybe getting back to somewhere. And I've thought since the end of last season, even now, that – part of the way this series has to conclude will involve essentially a mending of fences or the two of these men making up. And I think what's going to happen is Raylan's going to have to do something that's a gesture for Art, maybe compromise himself in some way. But something's going to give. This was the beginning, was the first step, and it was better than we'd seen towards the end of season five. So that's good. It wasn't anything vitally impactful, though.
Okay. Well, and again, Raylan making just even any kind of a gesture towards him, that's more like, I think, becoming the kind of person that we'd like to see him be. A lot of us that are serious fanboys by the end of the series, and again, somebody who is capable of being more of a friend to somebody. He can be a hero. He can jump in and save somebody's life or avenge a wrong or whatever, but just on a day-to-day basis, trying to be a better person to the people around him, even if it's just simple consideration, that would definitely be a good thing. The funny thing is, as I'm looking at my notes for the show here, I actually took at least a brief note for every scene that happened on the show because of having to do my Wednesday Justified columns now at notjustanothertvsite.com. So I can actually tell that we have talked about most of the developments that happened on the show tonight. Last year, I just had to kind of speculate. I'm like, I think we got it all, and we generally did. But I'm looking at this here, and again, aside from Ava's ongoing nervousness around Boyd and the nervousness that she expressed to Raylan and Raylan telling her, look, you've got to do this. And again, if you're somebody that doesn't know about what's happening, that's bad. And if you're somebody that knows and is holding out on me, that's bad. So in our brief remaining time, I guess we can either talk about that or anything else that you're thinking about that went on tonight that we didn't really hit yet.
No, I think we've hit most of the important stuff. The demise of Dewey Crow is huge. And before I forget, that was Boyd walking in and watching Ava sleep, who wasn't actually asleep to begin with.
Gotcha. Okay.
But as far as tonight's episode goes, there was a lot of good stuff. It moved a little quicker than this time last year, and I think we appreciate that. But, you know, just like last year, I think we're not even – we today didn't scratch the surface of what we're going to see, which is the beauty of the show. The only, I guess, real big thing that still concerns me, and I was kind of holding out hope that we'll get there this season, and maybe we will, I don't know. But you and I have spoken off air many times about the idea that we would like to see more out of Gutterson, and even in the scene that we saw today where Raylan blames Gutterson for picking the wrong thing to follow, it just seems like unless something major happens down the road, that Gutterson may just be Gutterson, which is sad.
Well, he's doing the surveillance. He's hands-on with that. I'm glad you gave me the opportunity to mention that because that is the one thing I forgot to bring up. Yeah, Gutterson is going to be hands-on with the surveillance. So we got that part of it going on. Thanks for clarifying again as we're doing this in real time here, but and confirming that was Boyd and Ava in the last scene of the show here. And again, as far as season six versus season five, I kind of cheated a little bit and started working on my review even before tonight's episode because I figure I got to do a little bit to kind of set the stage from last year. And I described season five sort of as like an Adam Dunn kind of a thing. Couple home runs here, mighty home runs, also some real breezes from the swing and a miss. And I think we're going to get a little bit less of that, maybe a little bit more contact hitting this year, still with the home runs to keep the baseball analogy going. And I think we're off to a hell of a start. And it's a hell of a start in terms of the reviewing that we're doing this year with our Season 6 preview and talking to you again tonight, my man, in real time, breaking it all down. My pleasure as always, Jason. Thank you so much, buddy, and I'm looking forward to this last ride with you.
Absolutely. be back next week.
Be back next week covering Justified for the FDH Lounge and for NotJustAnotherTVSite.com. Thanks for joining us tonight, everybody, as we break down Justified Episode 6.1.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classics, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.